Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. And I'd like to welcome any visitors. Glad you could be here with us as well. This evening, we're staying on track with what we talked about this morning, and that is love. And of course, this morning we talked about how we are to love sinners. Well, tonight, we need to see if our love lines up with the love of God, because we cannot truly comprehend the love of God and how deep it really goes. But we know for sure that God's love is so deep for us, even while we were still sinners. But not only does He call us to love sinners, to go towards them, to reach out to them and bring them to the truth, but to love one another. And these are some problems that do occur within the church today, and really we see it in the world. We need to make sure that we are loving like God loves. And so the first thing we want to talk about tonight is the command to love one another. And in 2 John, our main text, with verse 5, it says, "Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now notice here we see, lady, he is talking to a congregation. He is talking to the church. And so we see this commandment, which he says is not a new commandment. We see this when Christ was teaching. We see so many times Christ call his followers to not only love one another, but to love their enemies, to pray for those who persecute them. We see this in Christ's teachings. And so it's not a new message that he's bringing to them. It's one that's already been talked about. And I said, preachers, we are preaching reminder sermons. We're not preaching anything new. This has been, every sermon you've heard has been preached over and over at some point. But we see here, we are called here to love one another just as Christ loved us. The heart of Christian living is not novelty. It is obedience to what God has already said. We see here that love is a command. To love one another is a command, not a suggestion. And the difference is a command you do, a suggestion, well, you can do it if you choose to, or you can choose not to. It's a command. John here calls it a command. Love is a decision of the will to seek the good of others as God defines good. Once again, keeping in mind, it's what God defines as good. Everything, every choice, we are going off of what God says, what He has defined. When God commands love, He is commanding us to act in a certain way toward one another, even when our feelings lag behind. There are going to be days that we really are not in a loving mood. It happens. I've woken up on the wrong side of the bed. Have you ever heard that phrase? There are days that we wake up, we get grumpy, or something has ruined our day, whatever it may be. But should that keep us from loving one another? Even if someone is hateful to you, says mean things to you, should we ever hate anyone? No, because the perfect example, Christ who went through it on the cross, even leading up to the cross. I mean, what his own people did to him. Did he ever utter a word of hate? Even though he had the right to tell him, you know what? I'm not going to die for you. You deserve hell. He never did. He went through. He died. And that is the deepest love, is dying for someone who doesn't deserve it, who's not worth it. We, still today, are not worthy. Yet, even on our bad days, God still loves us. Even on the days we disobey, God loves us. And so we are called to love one another, even on our bad days. Even when someone, and I've had it happen to me, someone in the church who just gossips about you, who tears you down, yes, my human side wants to hate. But my godly side says, no, be patient and love them. That's what we are called to do. And so, we need to look at now what type of love is needed. And really, what is love? Because our world has messed up the definition of love. And really what they have done is looked at love and defined it themselves, and they're not going by how God has defined love. We see love is not defined by our feelings, our culture, or our preferences. These are three areas that love is not defined, because in 2 John verse 6, we see this type of love. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Love is defined by God's commandments. You know, I tell people, when you put God at the center of your life, we see in places like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. When you make God the center of your life, everything is going to fall into place the way it needs to. And as well, we're going to know how to truly love someone. How husbands will truly know how to love their wives. Wives will truly know how to love their husbands. Brothers and sisters in Christ will know how to love one another. And we will know how to love our enemies. To love those who hate us. When we make God the center point of our life, we will know all things that pertain to Him and His teachings, His commandments. For love for God is obedience. We see that with John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do we show love to God? By being obedient. That's love. That's true love for God. We have so many in the religious world today that will profess with their lips, I love God. But guess what? Their hearts are far from Him. They don't obey. They do what they want. And that's according to worship. That's according to their lifestyle, what they want. They are not serving God like they should. And they're not loving like God has called them to love. It's disobedience. And really, hate for God. It's not love. It's so easy to profess our love for God, but He calls us to prove it. He demands action to prove our love, our faith for Him. To say I love God and yet live in rebellion to His will is a contradiction, and it is. You know, if we tell people, I love God, and yet here we are living a sinful lifestyle, that is a contradiction. You're a hypocrite. That's what Christ deals with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were hypocrites. The Pharisees professed to know God, yet here they are stacking up burdens on people that they themselves can even keep. Laws they would add on, laws that they would interpret wrongly, and even putting to death the Son of God. Yet they profess to know the law. Love for others is obedience. John is not talking about just loving God, but loving others as well. We need to ask ourselves this question. How do I love my brother and sister? How about another question? How do I love those who are of the world? Once again, we talked this morning about how to love sinners. How to love sinners. And it's by grace and truth. You know, is it okay to tell people God loves you? Absolutely. But we need to tell the truth, and that is, you need to repent. You need to turn to God. You need to give your life to Him. You need to commit, devote your life to Him. Not continue living in sin. Because Christ loved us so much that He told us, you need to repent. You need to do what's right. You need to turn back to the Father. You need to give your life to Him. This put away this sin. And we see what sin is through Scripture. The apostles preached and told people what not to do and what to do. These were the words of God they spoke. Christ told them, this is wrong. Do this instead. So do we truly love? Here is what love really is. Love is caring for someone so deeply. It's not defined by our feeling, our culture, our preferences. It's defined by God that we love someone so much that we are going to correct them because we want them to go to heaven. We want them to be a part of the kingdom. But not only that, that we are loving God and we are obeying His commands. This is what real love looks like. I brought up the illustration with a child. If I saw a child with a metal fork going to a receptacle, you know what he's going to do. Am I just going to stand there and say, no, don't do that, and then just ignore? Or am I going to stop that child from doing something that can harm him or take his life? Once again, true love is doing, not just saying. Preventing someone or trying to prevent someone from doing wrong. And so walking in love, a way of life. What we see here within our text, we see the word walk is used twice in this small section. We see some of her children are walking in the truth. Walking according to His commandments is what love actually looks like. We see that the word walk is a word for daily conduct. It's a lifestyle. It's our life. Our whole purpose is to walk according to what God has commanded us. We go back to the Old Testament. Daily, they were to listen, they were to hear, they were to obey God and the commands that were given to them. We know we are called to surrender daily to Christ, not just when we feel like it or when we want to. It's daily. In order to be a faithful Christian, to be a true Christian, it's a daily work that we are to do. You know, you don't get weekends off. I tell people, it's a full-time job. It's another full-time job. Now, is it a job that pays very well eventually? Absolutely. We know the reward that awaits us if we remain faithful and we show true love and that we obey. It's worth it. And it is work. It is hard. There are days that Satan attacks. There are days that people revile us. But we have to remain strong. And it's walking and not sprinting. Because when we look at sprinting, you only get so far. Because eventually, if you sprint, you're going to run out of energy. You're going to run out of air. And you're going to drop. You need a break. Walking, on the other hand, is steady, ongoing, step by step. It's consistent. You don't just have love in a big emotional way, big emotional worship service. You walk in love every day of the week. We should have that same love in those big emotional moments every day for God, for others. We should care so much. And so where should we walk in love? Well, in the home. Do our children see mom and dad loving each other? You know, I think about kids who see their parents smooch, give a kiss, and they go, ooh. Should that be something our children should say? Or should they say, well, mom and dad love each other? It should be a normal thing for them to see their mom and dad giving each other a kiss goodbye or a hey, how are you doing kiss. I mean, it should be something normal. Should children receive love from the parents? Absolutely. Not just when the parents feel like it. Don't give your kids an iPad and tell them, get away from me. That's not love. We should embrace our children every day. But most importantly, we should raise them in the home, in a godly home, showing them what true godly love is, teaching what true godly love looks like. Once again, are we putting God at the center of our life? In our home. That includes in the home. In the local congregation, is there love being shown to one another and to the world for lost souls? I have been in some congregations, and all I have to do is walk in, and if I have a cold feeling, that's not a good thing. And I've been in a few. But there are congregations I've walked into, and it's nothing but warmth, love. You can feel it. You can just sense that there's that connection. But as well, toward the lost. We have been commanded with the Great Commission to go and make disciples. Once again, like I said this morning, we are not to isolate ourselves. We need to be where sinners are, teaching, preaching, but also being careful that we do not fall into participating or compromising. But do we have that love toward the lost that we care so much, we want them to hear the truth and obey the truth? And so let's look at the context here of John chapter 1. And the only chapter of John. So love and truth cannot be separated. And that we see that in verses 4 and 6. Verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we received commandment from the Father. So here we have truth. Some of the children were walking in truth. Going down to verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. So here we have love and truth. They are not separated. They are together, and they will always be together. We must walk in truth and walk in love. That's what we are called to do. Because we go on to verses 9 through 11 of 2 John. It says, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Now, is this a contradiction? Because here we have at the beginning of 2 John verses 4 through 6, 7, 8. What we have here is, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in truth. And then verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And then you go to verses 9 through 11, here we are. Those who do not abide in teaching of Christ have nothing to do with them. Get as far as you can from them. But we know as Christians, what's our first love? Because it goes all the way back to the greatest commandment. As scribes would come to Christ and try to make him stumble, they ask him, what is the greatest commandment in all of the law? First, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And as I think deeply about it, if we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to be able to love our neighbors. We're going to be able to show true love. And we know, as Paul would talk about in 1 Corinthians 5, about church discipline, about withdrawal, we need to understand we are here to protect our souls as well as to protect our brothers and sisters from deceiving ways. Because false teachers, they don't know true love. What they do is twist and turn Scripture to fit their own wants, their own desires. And a lot of them are looking to take as many souls with them. Look at Satan. Satan is the father of lies. Satan wants to take as many with him to hell as he can. And he will show them fake love, what fake love looks like, entrapping them. And this is the same type of love that is preached and taught in much of the religious world. God loves you. He accepts you for who you are. Don't change. Just come. And we accept you for who you are. That's not true love. That's someone lying to you. That's someone who doesn't love you. If a child does something wrong and it could cost them their life, a parent is going to correct them, not because they hate them, but because they love them. They don't want them to do that. They don't want them to be harmed. And that's how God is. Look at Israel. Yeah, God punished Israel. There would be people who lost their life because of sin. But do you think God hates his people? No. He's just like any other father. He corrects. He wants them to learn. I told you to do this, and you did this. Guess what? I'm going to punish you. But it's not out of hate. It's out of love. Christ wants us all to go to heaven. He wants us to obey. Once again, these people who do not abide in the teaching of Christ, they are lost. And it is our job to reach out, to preach and teach the truth to them. But if they continue to reject, there's nothing more we can do. All we can do is pray and make sure that we separate ourselves. Hopefully someone comes along eventually to water what we have sowed and to show the same type of love and hopefully bring them to Christ. If we have truth without love, we become harsh, cold, and self-righteous. If we have love without truth, we become sentimental, compromising, and disobedient. Once again, truth and love. We are to walk in truth. We are to walk in love. There are those who have love without truth. What they become is sentimental, compromising, and disobedient. And there are those who have truth without love, become harsh, cold, and self-righteous. We see that with the Pharisees. They had truth, you know, the law of Moses. But they didn't walk with love. They did not have truth with love. We see they hated the Gentiles so much. I mean, they would bypass Samaria. They'd go all the way around, take the long way around. But when Christ entered the scene, he came to die for all, Jew, Gentile alike. And so, when we stand for the pattern of the New Testament worship, that is love. When we uphold what Scripture teaches about baptism, the church, morality, and marriage, that is love. When we refuse to extend fellowship to false doctrine, that is not hatred. It is loyalty to Christ and concern for other souls. It is love, truth and love. Now, we need to be careful how we come across. That's why I hate texting. Talking to people, studying with people over text, it doesn't work too well. Because they can take a text out of context. I have in the past. Someone's texted me, I'm like, that's kind of hateful, that's kind of angry, but it wasn't. We need to be careful how we come across. We need to make sure that we are coming across with truth and with love, with gentleness, with compassion. That is what we have been commanded to do. That's what God has done for us. He comes across with truth and love. And so tonight, we need to make sure that we are walking in both love and truth. And for those who are not Christians this evening, understand that God does love you. He sent his only son to come and die for you. That there is no deeper, no greater love than that. But understand, along with that love, he brings truth. And the truth is, you're lost and your souls will be condemned unless you turn to him and give your life to him. And this is how you give your life to him. First, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Believe that word, Mark 16:15-16. Repent of your sins, turning from your sins and turning back to God, changing your life. And then confessing your faith in Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. But it doesn't stop there. You must be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. Acts 2, 38, Acts 22, 15 and 16, 1 Peter 3, 21, and so forth. But it doesn't stop there either. We must remain faithful, Hebrews 10, 23. And that means walking in truth and walking in love until we take our last breath or until Christ comes back. But for those who were Christians, have gone astray back into sin, understand you are lost. But God still loves you, and God is still extending his grace to you at this moment, giving you time to come forward and to renew your walk, to repent and to be reconciled to him. But it's your decision this night to do what is right by giving your life to Christ, making the right decision. So if you're here this evening and you do need assistance, I pray that you make the right decision this night as we stand and as we sing.